الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Him عز وجل for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir in the Blessed Mosque of Aminat School here in Buffalo. This Thursday, the sixth day of Ramadan, 1443 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. We're reading Surah An-Nisa. And we have read Surah An-Nisa up to the 89th verse, I think. Yeah? Okay. So insha'Allah ta'ala, today we're starting from the 90th verse of Surah An-Nisa. We know what we are discussing. We are still discussing the Munafiqun and aspects of the battles of Rasul alayhi salatu wassalam, and the characteristics of Munafiqun, and insha'Allah ta'ala we shall be seeing other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say about our wars with them, our disagreements with the kuffar and so on, and how our battles should be conducted, part of the rules insha'Allah. So verse 90, Allah says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، من همزه ونفثه ونفثه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, no, I have my own mic. Allah says, إلا الذين يصلون إلى قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق أو جاءوكم حصرت صدورهم أن يقاتلوكم أو يقاتلوا قومهم ولو شاء الله لسلطهم عليكم فلقاتلوكم فإن اعتزلوكم فلم يقاتلوكم وألقوا إليكم السلم فما جعل الله لكم عليهم سبيلا. So we're talking about the Munafiqun. Allah said, فما لكم في المنافقين فئتين والله أركسهم بما كسبوا أتريدون أن تهدوا من أضل الله ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. ودوا لو تكفرون كما كفروا فتكونون سواء فلا تتخذوا منهم أولياء حتى يهاجروا في سبيل الله فإن تولوا فخذوهم وقتلوهم حيث وجدتموهم ولا تتخذوا منهم وليا ولا نصيرا أفتح الله السيد بس ولا تتخذوا منهم وليا ولا نصيرا then Allah says إلا الذين يصلون إلى قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق أو جاءوكم حصرت صدورهم أن يقاتلوكم أو يقاتلوا قومهم So Allah now says Allah has forbidden that you hold them as awliya, those in whom you place a lot of trust, those with whom you share secrets and so on. Those are awliya. You shouldn't hold them like that because they cannot keep your secrets since they are actually your enemies and not your friends. So Allah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said all of that, who will take care of this sound? So Allah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it's prohibited that we hold them as awliya and help us, then Allah said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ Except those of them who go to those people with whom you have a covenant. Amongst the kuffar, there are those that Muslims should not fight and should not kill apart unless there is a general battle with them, but you put them apart and kill them, it's not permissible at all. One part of them is the Ahlul Zimma. There's a general agreement with them, between Muslims and them for peace. Then there are also these ones that there is just an agreement between the Muslims and them. We do not cross this boundary, we do not do this, you do not do this, you do not do that. So that if there are such agreements between us and them, and then these people who are pretending to be Muslims go to them and join them and become a part of them, the agreement we have with those people will extend to them too, because they are now part of those people. Do we understand? So Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَنْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ Or they come to you with their minds heavy. Al-Imam Hamza would say حَصْرَةً صُدُورُهُمْ There you have At-Ta'u al-Marbut or the one they call her At-Ta'anis and then it will be مَفْتُوح مَنْصُوب instead of here that is we see تَعُ التَّعْنِيث and then it has a sukun it's not going to be like that in the Qara'a of Hamza so their minds are weakened They are worried by their condition and they come to you. At the time they came to you, they were with those people. But they came to you either to kill you, to fight you, or to fight those people with whom they had some agreement. Are we following this? أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ Or that they will kill their own people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ If Allah had willed, لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ He would have made them successful over you in their wish. He would have made them successful over you. وَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ And they would have killed you. But what happened? فَإِنْ اَعْتَزَلُوكُمْ. So if they now desist, if they now desist from the intention of killing you, and they now want peace with you, فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ, and they do not, they did not fight you, وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ, and they sought a treaty, peace with you, they sought a sulh with you, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed you to fight them under such circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not provided for you a leeway out of holding holding on and not fighting them. So now you have to obey this treaty and stay with them without a fight and accept the sulh, since they no longer fight you. What is it that our alim is saying here? وَهَذَا الْإِسْتِثْنَى يَرْجِعُ إِلَى الْقَتْلِ. So this exception, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَى قَوْمٍ, is returning to the issue of fighting. That you fight them, now you do not fight these ones. لَا إِلَى الْمُوَالَاتِ is not about befriending them. Allah said you shouldn't hold them as those whom you trust. You still hold them as those you will not trust. So Allah is not saying you can now trust them. Allah is not saying that. Allah is only saying you no longer will fight them, because they are now amongst those Ahlul Zimma, and you should not fight Ahlul Zimma separately. That you see one of them in the bush or something and you kill him is not permissible. So since they are now part of them, what affects the other ones will also affect them. So you do not kill these ones too, if you have an agreement with them. Amongst those that we have agreements with are the ones that you live in the same country with them, and Islam is not the religion that is ruling the country. So it's not the Sharia that is ruling the country. The Sharia is not applied in the country, and so the country is dominated maybe by kuffar, who are non-Muslims, or that the laws of the country are not the laws of Islam. And you are living with them under the agreement that you are staying in peace. They shall not just like that come to attack you, unless it be a fight, a disagreement that you have. But just like that, for being Muslims, they do not come to attack you. So you live in peace with such people too. It's haram for you to kill such people. They also get amongst these ones. So that all these things of extremism, of some people going about, you know, they just get a group of people, they make somebody their leader, and they declare that so and so people are kuffar and they should be fought. This is a big mistake, and I hope that our youth never get into such things. Those who are in it, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. And they will understand that Islam is not such a guerrilla religion or way of life. Islam does not teach that. Islam teaches us to come and live in the city with people. Even if they are non-Muslims, you don't go and stay in the bush and only hold them as enemies and fight them. You come and live with them and preach to them. So in order to preach Islam, you have to come and live with the people you are preaching to. When Abdullah ibn Umar came to all these areas where, alhamdulillah, we had people like Abu Dawud al-Sittani, we had people like al-Imam al-Bukhari and the rest of them, where ulama were raised. When he came to that area, there was nothing like Islam. And he came and lived with them. And under a condition, he stayed for 6 months and could not leave because it was very cold. They came to spread Islam at that time. They didn't live like those in guerrilla warfare. They came and lived within the people. And alhamdulillah, they were able to get rivers. Now in that region, there are very many Muslims. Some of those countries are dominated by Muslims. Like Afghanistan is even completely a Sharia compliant state now. all those Uzbekistans and the rest, they are all Muslims. Chechnya also has a very large number of Muslims, and so on and so forth. Albania, all those were as a result of those people going and living with them, not in the bush. Now these Boko Haram people and people like them, how many rewards are they getting? How many people voluntarily go there and say, we want to embrace Islam because we like your Islam? How many people? None. You know, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah told him towards the end of his life, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Very many people coming to embrace Islam. That cannot happen if you go and lock yourself in the bush and all you do is just fight people and kill people, bomb churches, bomb mosques, bomb petrol stations and all that, and that's how you get rewards. You don't get rewards like that. You don't do da'wah like that. Tamam bin Uthal was somebody who even killed Sahaba, and the Prophet ordered that he be brought. He was brought, chained, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of the day allowed him to go. He came back on his own and embraced Islam. And they asked, why didn't you embrace Islam all the 3 days that we held you? He said, I have pride. I'm the leader of my people. I do not allow anybody to force me to do anything. I force people to do things. So when you brought me, if I had embraced Islam, it would have been because I was afraid that you would kill me. I would rather die than live like a slave. So, but when you released me, I on my own decided to embrace Islam because I loved what I saw in your place. So how would all this have been possible if the Prophet had lived the life that all these Boko Haram boys are living today? If he had decided to live like that, how would all of that have been possible? So we have to give these things another thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. So the mu'alaa between them is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an exception from. No. But the war. He says, لِأَنَّ مُعَلَاتِ الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا تَجُوزُ بِحَالٍ. Because holding them as the ones you trust and keeping your secrets with them and so on, this is never permissible under any condition. Bihal is not permissible. وَمَعْنَا يَصِلُونَ أَن يَنْتَصِبُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَتَّصِلُونَ بِهِمْ وَيَدْخُلُونَ فِيهِمْ بِالْحِلْفِ وَالْجَوَارِ. So if they now decide that they are going into those other people that you have an agreement with, and they are going to stay with them and be with them and so on. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, يُرِيدُ يَلْجَأُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. If they now decide to go and hold some other people as their friends and the ones they would trust and keep their affairs in the hands of those ones, and those who بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٍ, those people that you have a covenant with, you have an agreement, for 30 years there will be no war between us. We will not kill your children, you will not kill ours. We will not take your land, you will not take ours. We will not do this, we will not do that. If there is such an agreement to such people, and then they go and join those people. وَهُمُ الْأَسْلَمِيُّونَ. Like in that, at that time it was the Banu Aslam. وَذَلِكَ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وادع هلال بن عويمر الأسلمي قبل خروجه إلى مكة على ألا يعينه ولا يعين عليه. So and this is because رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام had an agreement with one هلال بن عويمر at the time, الأسلمي, and that's why the people were considered أهل those between them and Muslims, between whom there was a covenant. Said he had that with him قبل خروجه إلى مكة, before he went to Mecca. The agreement they had was ألا ألا يعينه, he will not help the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, ولا يعين عليه, but he will not help anybody against him. So anybody that is fighting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Hilal will not fight the person, but he will also not fight the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but he will not help anybody who is helping the Prophet alayhi salatu, who is fighting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَنْ وَصَلَ إِلَى هِلَال مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. So whoever goes to Hilal, since there was that agreement with Hilal and his people, whoever goes to Hilal وَغَيْرِهِمْ and others like them, وَلَجَعَ إِلَيْهِمْ and he decides to put his affairs in their hands, إِلَيْهِ فَلَهُ مِنَ الْجَوَارِ مِثْلَ مَالِ هِلَال. So whatever agreement the Muslims had with Hilal, automatically they would have with them. So now, in the same vein, in Islam we say that there are Ahlul Kitab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes exceptions with the Ahlul Kitab. For instance, He says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their food is halal for you. Their food is halal for you. What does he mean by their food? What they have slaughtered. Because rice, do you need somebody, does it have to be cooked by somebody before it will be halal? Rice, out of beans, all those things, they are already halal, whether they are cooked by Muslim or non-Muslim. Do you understand? But their meat, what they slaughter, is halal for you, the Ahlul Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara, unless they call the name of other than Allah over what they were slaughtering. وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبْعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ. So accept those. So for instance, the the Ahlul Kitab, all of those things from them are halal. We can eat them. Now, somebody was not amongst them before, but he went out, went to them, and accepted their faith. You know, the ones we knew, the Yahud, you know, they were of a tribe. But then they had an Aqidah. They had a faith. Somebody, not from their tribe, but went and accepted their faith and joined them. That person now will consider him part of them too. So if you meet the extremists here that are saying, there are no Ahlul Kitab again, lie, till the end of time. There will be no more Ahlul Kitab. Why? It says because the Ahlul Kitab are the ones who believed in Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. But these ones, they are saying there are three gods, and Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا, and the rest, miskeen. The Ahlul Kitab that we accept now, are they Muslims? The ones that were existing in the time of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, were they Muslims? If they are Muslims, you call them Muslims, you don't call them Ahlul Kitab. So in the first place, they were those ones that were saying Inna Allah Salisu Salasa. Those are the ones that were called Ahlul Kitab. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Those who are kuffar, from amongst them, there are the Ahlul Kitab. They are also kuffar. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ وَقَوْلِهُمْ بُغْتَانًا وَوَتْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. They are the ones that are saying we have killed Isa ibn Maryam. They are the same people that they were talking about. But then they were called Ahlul Kitab. So Ahlul Kitab simply means the person who professes faith in the current Bible, and claims to believe in Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But then he holds Nabi Isa as Lord instead of as a prophet of Allah. These are the Ahlul Kitab. So they are not Muslims, and they have never been Muslims. There's no way you can call a Muslim Ahlul Kitab. Or will any of you be happy if I say, Ya Ahlul Kitab? Eh? Was there any time any Sahabi was called Ya Ahlul Kitab? Eh? It's not possible. That's derogatory to a Muslim. So you see, it's a misunderstanding. Whatever you are, wherever you were before, once you now come and say, this is what you profess, that's how we will take you. The people you claim to be with, we will lump you up with them. If we have any disagreements with them, any agreements with them, any covenants with them, you enter into that covenant too automatically. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So, so that anybody who went to Hilal automatically was considered part of him. So أراد بالقوم الذين بينكم وبينهم ميثاق بني بكر بن زيد بن مناح كانوا في الصلح والهدنة. So the ones that he was referring to as the ones you had a ميثاق with are also the people of Bakr bin Zayd ibn Manah, because they were in an agreement with the Muslims. They were in a sulh. So if you go to them, you are also in a sulh with the Muslims. وَقَالَ مُقَاتِلْهُمْ خُزَاعَ وَقَوْلُهُ. So these are different thoughts by our predecessors, but all of it, what it comes back to is that if we had an agreement with any group of people and somebody that we would have fought now goes to them, automatically he is part of them and we consider him part of them. أَوْجَاءُوكُمْ أَيَّتَّصِلُونَ بِقَوْمٍ جَاءُوكُمْ. So now they are part of those who came to you. حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ. They were worried, their hearts were pressured. Like we said, Al-Hasan and Yaqub, they recited Al-Hasratan, Mansuba, Munawwana. So if there was worry in their hearts, but they came to you in that form, يعني القوم الذين جاءوكم وهم بنو مدلج. So if they were amongst these people and they came to you, كانوا عاهدوا الله تقاتل المسلمين. Allah tuqatilu al-muslimina wa yuqatilu al-muslimina wa ahadu quraishan Allah yuqatiluhum. So there was an agreement with the Muslims and them that they would not fight the Muslims, and they also agreed with the Quraysh that they would not fight the Quraysh also, just like the Banu Aslam. Okay, so there was also that Hilal, you remember Hilal? Okay, and his people, just like them. So they had an agreement with the Muslims, and they also had agreement with the Quraysh. So now, حَصِرَتْ بَاقَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَنْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ أَيْ أَنْ قِتَالِكُمْ. They are worried, they don't want to fight you. لِلْأَحَدِ الَّذِي بَيْنَكُمْ. Because of the agreement you had with them, there was a covenant with them that they should not fight you. So أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ يَعْنِي مَنْ أَمِنَ مِنْهُمْ. If there were some of them who now became Muslims and they now said they would fight their people who are also non-Muslims, وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ مَعَ قَوْمِهِمْ وَلَا يُقَاتِلُونَ قَوْمَهُمْ مَعَكُمْ. That they stand that they will not fight their people along with you, and they would also not fight you along with their people. If they have stood by this, يَعْنِي قُرَيْشًا, that they will not fight the Quraysh too, قد ضاقت صدورهم لذلك and their hearts are heavy as a result of this. وقال بعضهم, some ulama then said to, أو بمعنى الواو, أو that he's saying here, or means and. كأنه يقول إلى قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق وجاءوكم حصرت صدورهم أي حصرت صدورهم عن قتالكم والقتال معكم وهم قوم هلال الأسلميون وبنو بكر نهى الله سبحانه عن قتال هؤلاء. So they came to you, maybe their people, so some of their people that they had gone to join were fighting you, but they had agreed that they would not fight you. So they are not pleased with the decision of their people to renege on their promise and fight you. And you know them, you are able to distinguish them from the rest, then those ones you do not fight to. You do not fight those ones too. نهى الله سبحانه عن قتال هؤلاء المرتدين. So these ones that left the fold of Islam, ordinarily they are supposed to be fought. But because of this agreement, because they had gone to join ranks with those that had an agreement with the Muslims, and automatically that agreement now affects them, you also will not fight those ones. إذا اتصلوا بأهل عهد للمسلمين, as long as they have gone to join those who had an agreement with the Muslims. Now it will be as if there is an agreement with them too. And so we do not fight those ones too. لِأَنَّ مَنْ انْضَمَّ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ ذَوِي عَهْدٍ فَلَهُ حُكْمُهُمْ فِي حِقْنِ الدَّمِ. This is a qaida. If anybody goes to join the people that we should not kill, automatically we should not also kill him. If we should not fight those people because we have an agreement with them, and this person has gone to join those ones that we have an agreement with, then automatically he also becomes comes under that agreement, and so we will not fight him too. So if that is so, the non-Muslims that we live with in Nigeria today, is it permissible for us to go ahead and fight them? Is it? No. We are under the covenant that we will live as a people, as one people, as just states of one federation. And we do not attack each other. They do not attack us, we do not attack them. They do not help anybody to fight us. Also, we do not do the same with them. So as far as we are concerned now, those people, if anybody who is a Muslim, commits apostasy and goes to join them, and he is now part of those Christians or Jews or whoever that we have such an agreement with, automatically that murtad we cannot kill. He is now under their umbrella, and so we leave him alone. You know, these people, there are some clowns here that stayed in a place here in Niger State. They came from different parts of the Federation. Came and bought a land in Mashegu local government. And then they declared that land the land of Islam. They declared it a country after buying it from a people in the local government. And in buying, the certificate of occupancy that they have is for the country Nigeria. And there is a police station there, and the police station is Nigeria police, and they are under Mashegu local government area of Niger State, but their own is Darul Islam. It's a country within a country, and they did not fight any jihad to win that country. They just bought land, and automatically the land they bought became a country. You're receiving calls here. I hope it's not disturbing your recording. So this kind of childish understanding of Islam is causing a lot of trouble to us in Islam. And this is what resulted in the Boko Haram that we have today. And in the other groups that we also have, there are some boys today that are lying and creating chaos within the Muslim community under the guise of Salafiyah. They are also like those people. I said some. Salafiyah itself, there is nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with Salafi. In fact, anybody who is not a Salafi is not practicing Islam. Salafi meaning that you get your Islam from the teachings of the Sahaba who got their Islam from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this Quran we're reciting today is in their handwriting. And you cannot change the handwriting. Once you change it, we know this is not the Quran. If instead of writing Salah as Sad, Lam, Waw, if you write it as Sad, Lam, Al-Alif, this is not the Quran. Eh? This is not the Quran. Even though in ordinary Arabic it's correct, but in the writing of the Quran is not. Why? Because it's not in line with the writing of the Sahaba. It's not the handwriting of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah left the Quran in their hands to preserve it. So you want to practice Islam without the Quran. What kind of Islam will you practice? If you want to practice the Quran, the Islam with the Quran, you have to know the people that wrote it the way they wrote it now. Why did they write it like that? What are the challenges they went through? What are the reforms they made? And what are the things they reported concerning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the approvals he gave and all of that and all of that. That is Salafiyah. You're getting Islam from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as recorded by the Sahaba who lived with him. And then after their generation, those who learned from them, like that, until it came to us today. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعُوا, I think, سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. وَاتَّبِعَ, right? No, not وَاتَّبِعُوا. وَاتَّبِعَ, وَاتَّبِعَ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. Naam. So follow the path of those who were close to me. Who is he talking about? The ones before you, the ones before them, and so on until the Sahaba. Because Allah has said clearly that he is pleased with the Sahaba in many ayat. One of them being, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. This is a certificate on them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said a lot of things about them. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, to the end of the verse, and so on. So, it has to be in line with the teachings of these people. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. But the problem is, if you say that's what you're following, in the first place, your guidance is in the guidance of those before you. So if you want to take Salafiyah, take it from the Salaf, not from a group that you have formed, that you have now decided this and this and this are not with you. So only you are Salafiyah. That's where you make the mistake. Because you must also remember that amongst the Salaf there were some disagreements they had concerning their approach to certain things. But that did not remove them from the Salaf. That did not remove them from those Allah was pleased with. So you have to know what those disagreements are that are permissible. So that if you have such a disagreement with somebody, it doesn't remove him from the fold. Some of these agreements are political, but then based on them you say, this one is a murtad, this one is a this, this one is a that. And only you will be the Muslims. And then if your own were to be brought under scrutiny, you'll find that it is very empty. It's a scrotum, not, you know, you know what I mean? So it's dirty. So this kind of funny understanding and childish approach to Islamic scholarship, one of the reasons why we have such things is that there is no Sharia in the land. So everybody comes to talk about the Quran and says what he likes. You know, here now that it is civil law that we respect. Nobody just goes to court and says he's a lawyer. Not just anybody. Huh? Have you ever seen an engineer that went to court and said he knows the law, so he wants to stand as a lawyer, and the court accepted him? Have you ever seen that? Eh? Or a medical doctor? It's not possible. No matter how much you know the law, if you are not a certified lawyer who has gone to the law school and passed and has been called to bar, you cannot practice. So, but you see here, it's not the case. Anybody that just reads a little to my own level now, you have read to my own level, you are doing tafsir, subhanAllah. It's a big fitna for me. Because I have not even joined the rank of those who should learn from ulama. I'm not even as learned as those ones yet. It's a big fitna that I'm the one doing the tafsir. If I were in a place that is organized, and where there are learned people, I will not even be amongst the secondary school students yet. I should be in nursery or primary level. Because there are so many, much, much, much more for us to learn before we can even say anything. But you see, the land is just like that now. Everything is just loose. If it's Islam, you can do anything. You can just come up and start an Islam here today and it will be registered, nothing. But if you want to start, what do they call them now? Any private school that the government will approve of, then you have to go through scrutiny. If you want to, quote unquote, westernize it, you have to go under scrutiny. But if it's Islamia, anybody can just come and start it and it all goes. The way they teach Islamic religious corruption in schools, the one they call hierarchy, is corrupting Islamic religious studies. It's not teaching Islamic religious studies. Because you don't even know the tajweed of the Quran. You don't even know how to pronounce the huruf properly. You don't know the rijal of hadith. You don't even know the names of 20 sahaba. Yet you are talking about the fitna between Ali and Muawiyah. And they are teaching you that. Are they not corrupting the studies of Islam? Such a person should not be taught such things yet. Because he doesn't know the foundation. He doesn't have the instrument with which to judge between right and wrong. May Allah save us from all this fitna. So, يَذْكُرُ مِنَّتَهُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So here, when he says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُكُمْ. If Allah had willed, he would have given those people who had come to fight you, even though they said the other people who did not want to fight you, even though they were amongst the people that were fighting you, you don't fight them because they are not in support of fighting you. Like now you're fighting, may Allah forbid that you're fighting Christians, for instance, and then there is the pastor who is inside the church worshiping. You don't fight such a person. Or there is the nun whose work is only religious work. They are not known to have weapons. They are not known to help those who are fighting you. You don't fight those ones. Like amongst the Muslims sometimes, two parties of the Muslims will be fighting. Some will say, we are not part of the fight. We will not join any group because we believe both of you are Muslims. You are good Muslims, only that you have made mistakes in interpretation or something. We cannot fight any of you because we don't want qitaluhu kufrun to fall on us. Like Abu Huraira did in the time of the fight between the firq of the Muslimin. Like Abdullah ibn Umar was said to have done. And many Sahaba like that refused to join those wars between the Sahaba. So like that one, these people too will not default. So, but then those who are coming to fight you, that Allah said He did not allow them to have victory over you. Said Allah is now mentioning to the Muslims that if Allah had willed, He would have allowed them to have victory over you, and they would have had victory over you. So Al-Baghawi says, يَذْكُرُ مِنَّتَهُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِكَفِّ بَأْسِ الْمُؤَاهَدِينَ. So those people that you had an agreement with that have now become treacherous, they have decided to betray you and they have come to fight you now, they would have had victory over you. But Allah is mentioning that He stopped them from having that victory. يَقُولُ إِنَّ ضِيقَ صُدُورِهِمْ عَنْ قِتَالِكُمْ لَمَّا أَلْقَى اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ لِمَا أَلْقَى اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنَ الرُّعْبِ وَكَفِّهِمْ عَنْ قِتَالِكُمْ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ مَعَ قَوْمِهِمْ. So this thing that happened, and those people that went to join those ones you had a covenant with, the fact that they did not fight you, that their hearts were heavy and they felt, no, they didn't want to fight you because they wanted to trust, to hold on to the agreement between you. Those people, if Allah had willed, He would have given them the go ahead and given them the power to fight you and defeat you, but He didn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held them back. If Allah had willed, He would have given them victory over you. So that anything that happens to you, you must always know that it has Allah's hand in it. So if you are jubilating, call the name of Allah. If you are mourning, call the name of Allah. Do not leave Allah and start calling something else. فَإِنْ اَعْتَزَلُوكُمْ, if they have decided that they will not fight you and they refuse to fight you, they hold back from fighting you, فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ, and they did not fight you, and they did not join those who are fighting you to fight you. وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ, and they come to you with words of reconciliation. And they come and embrace Islam. فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed you to fight them. It's not permissible for you to fight them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, سَتَجِدُونَ, have you read that? Okay, go ahead. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which verse is this? 91. Naam. Satajiduna akharin yuriduna an ya'manukum wa ya'manu qawmahum kullama ruddu ila al-fitnati urkisu fiha fa'in lam ya'tazilukum ويلقوا إليكم السلم ويكفوا أيديهم فخذوهم وقتلوهم حيث ثقفتموهم وأولئكم جعلنا لكم عليهم سلطانا مبينا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now continuing to talk about these people. So He said, ستجدون آخرين, you will find some other people amongst those people that Allah is telling you about. You'll find some others. Al-Kalbi reports an Abi Saleh on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about now is Asad wa Ghatafan. These people were in Medina and they professed Islam. But when they professed Islam, Allah knows that they did it riya'an, only to make people say that they are Muslims, just so that they will be called Muslims, not because they had truly embraced Islam. وَهُمْ غَيْرُ مُسْلِمِينَ. But they were not Muslims. وَكَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهُمْ يَقُولُ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ. And then their people would say to one of them, بِمَاذَا أَسْلَمْتَ. Why did you embrace Islam? فَيَقُولُ. And he would say, آمَنْتُ بِهَذَا الْقِرْدِ وَبِهَذَا الْعَقْرَبِ وَالْخَنْفَسَى. وَإِذَا لَقُوا أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالُوا إِنَّا عَلَى دِينِكُمْ يُرِيدُونَ بِذَلِكَ الْأَمْنَ فِي الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. You remember the verses that talked about this before in the Quran also? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. So you see, they called the Prophet monkey. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They called some aqrab, scorpion, and so on and so forth. Terrible names. So that to show their people that they were not Muslims. But then when they are with Muslims, they say they are Muslims. Because they want to be saved from the sword of the Muslims. يُرِيدُونَ بِذَلِكَ الْأَمْنَ فِي الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. That anywhere they are, they will have peace. If they come to the Muslims, they have peace. The Muslims see them as their own. If they go back to their people, they have peace because their people see them as their own. These are the true munafiqun. And amongst Muslims today, there are people like that. Amongst the Ahlul Sunnah, you do not know them as Ahlul Sunnah. But then, there are other people that think that they are Ahlul Sunnah. Because when they go somewhere, they say they are Ahlul Sunnah. They go to leaders, governors, and the rest who are Ahlul Sunnah. They pretend to be Ahlul Sunnah. They look for contracts and all that. When they come back to the governor who is a Tijani, they will join him in Wazifa. There was a VC like that. I won't call his name now. He wanted to be VC in the 80s. I think in the 80s. So he came to Abu Bakr Gumi. Babangida was the president then. The only military president we ever had. Because you know, as a military, he said he was not head of state, he was president. And then instead of the Supreme Military Council, he said his own is he the one that brought AFRC, Armed Forces Ruling Council, or something like that. Said his own would not be supreme, because only Allah is supreme. You know, and then the Muslims, I say, Allahu Akbar, we now have an Ahl Sunnah. And then he even came and said he has given his Allah register, he has done this and that, Allahu Akbar, his Ahlul Sunnah, his Ahlul Sunnah. Until he started operating, then people know he was actually Ahlul Sunnah, not Sunnah. Subhanallah, may Allah guide him and forgive his mistakes. Because of course he has very good sides to him too. It's not all ugly about him, he did some very beautiful things too. So anyway, in his time, when he was what did he say he was? He was the president then. What were we talking about, sir? BBC. The one that wanted to be VC. He came to Mala Abu Bakr Gumi. The reason why he came to Abu Bakr Gumi is that Abu Bakr Gumi was highly respected by Babangida. We understand that one of the reasons why Babangida respected him a lot is that Babangida called them. He and Tahir Bauchi seemed to be the problem of Nigeria at that time, of Islam. Because the followers of Tahir Bauchi were plenty, the followers of Gumi were plenty, and they were disagreeing. So Babangida wanted an end to this thing. So he called Mala Abubakar Gumi in private. I said, what do you think would be the solution to all these disagreements? We want peace amongst Muslims. So he said, my opinion is that some of these people that are doing these things that we criticize them for, they are doing those things because you people have left them without salary. They are not paid by anyone. They don't have money. They are looking for money, so they lie to people. They do a lot of terrible things to make money. If the government would employ them and give them a source of income, a lot of them will leave all those things because they are doing it because they have no source of income. So I suggest that you put them on salary, you employ them in school, you do this, you do that, you know, so that you give them some financial strength. He said, is that your suggestion? He said, yes. I suggest that you do that. You make life better for them. Not for you as a person. You say, no, I'm employed. I'm on a pension. And alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. I have a house and all that. These people, they don't have anything. Do it for them. His enemies. So Babangida said, okay, thank you very much. Jazakallahu khairan and so on. And he gave him a vehicle and some money. When he just left the place, came to the Agaji that were with him, he said, this is the key to the vehicle that the president gave me. You people should go and use it for da'wah. This is the money he gave. Go and build the mosque or an Islamia with it and all that. And he remained without a penny. And they went. Nobody knew what he did. He didn't come to tell the president, but the president heard what he did with all that he gave him. So now he called the Oga and said, you, in your opinion, how do we solve this problem? He said, this Yahudi that they call Gumi, if you don't kill him, or punish him, or put him in jail, or do this and that, there will never be peace in this country. Yeah. And then he just bought money, bought car, bought this, he said, Jazakallahu khairan, thank you very much, may Allah bless you. And he went. So Babangida looked at this one and looked at this one. He didn't say anything. He didn't talk. But within him, he knew who was doing what he was doing for the sake of Allah. And he knew who was doing what he was doing fi sabili naira. So he had a lot of respect for Abubakar Gumi. And most importantly, throughout his reign, Abubakar Gumi never asked him for anything. Never asked him for any favor. So one day, Mala Abubakar Gumi said he wanted to see him. You want to see me? Must be serious. So quickly he just arranged a meeting. And he came, so he talked, he said, so person, the seat for the VC was vacant in BUK, and another person was going to be appointed. There was somebody already whom Babangida had made a promise to. But Mala Abubakar Gumi came, he said, I want you to make that man VC, because he's a very religious man, he's going to be helpful to Islam, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Subhanallah. So Babangida said, okay, I've heard. So when the Mala Abubakar Gumi had gone, he called that other person that he promised. He said, I'm sorry. I actually wanted to give you this position. But with what has happened now, I can no longer give you, I'm sorry. There's somebody that has never asked me any favor. He has come today to ask me to give so-and-so, and that person is the one I will give. Because of the high respect he had for him. But that same man, when he went to Isiaka Rabiu at that time, because they were also influential in Kano politics, he joined them in the Wazifa. If he goes to people like that, he will join them in what they are doing. So somebody came to tell them, he said, Akaraju, that man, don't allow him to be the VCO. He says Allah. I say, which kind is Allah? The person that he and I sat and we did wazifa here. He read the Salat al-Fatih, he read the Jawharat al-Kamal, he did everything. And he believed that Sheikh Tijani was coming here. And Yas and the rest of them, how can I agree that? He said, he will never agree. It's a lie, because I've seen that he's a Tijaniya. But he went to that other person and showed his Al-Sunnah. So, munafiqun. Subhanallah. These are very difficult people to deal with, wallahi. So they will come to the Muslims, they will say one thing, they will go to the non-Muslims, they will say another thing. Some other people say they are Abdu Banu Abdiddar and so on and so forth. Yuriduna an ya'manukum. They want to seek your agreement. They want you to be pleased with them. فَلَا تَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهُمْ. Do not ever lean towards them. وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. And they also want to please their people, just as they want to please you too. فَلَا يَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهُمْ. But then they are also not with them. كُلَّمَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أَيْدُعُوا إِلَى الشِّرْكِ. Each time they are asked to come to kufr, أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا رَجَعُوا وَعَادُوا. They will come back to kufr. In the first place, they were kuffar. They were only pretending to be Muslims. عَادُوا إِلَى الشِّرْكِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ. So if they do not desist from fighting you, حَتَّى تَسِيرُوا إِلَى مَكَّةِ, until you get to Mecca and meet them like that, they have not desisted from fighting you. وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ, and they have not come to seek sulh with you. وَيَكُفُّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ, and they have not held back their hands from fighting you. فَخُذُوهُمْ, then hold them as war captives. وَقُتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ سَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ, and kill them wherever you get them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ, these people, جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا, we have given you permission over them to kill them. أَيْ حُجَّةً بَيِّنَةً ظَاهِرَةً بِالْقَتْلِ وَالْقِتَالِ. So you kill them, you fight them in battles and all that, because these ones are deserving of being fought. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. May Allah save us from nifaq, and may Allah save us from their evil machinations. Because if you have munafiqun with you, unless Allah helps you very much, most of the time you don't know who they are. You're not able to know that they're munafiqun. All your secrets will be in their hearts, only for them to go and divulge them somewhere, because you are thinking that they are of you, while they are not of you. So you have to keep seeking Allah's refuge from all of those every day. And there are many ad'iya, there are many adhkar of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, seeking refuge from all of that, all of those people that will harm you. If you are coming out from your home, you say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an azilla aw uzal. أو أضل أو أضل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. All of these come under this dua. Inshallah ta'ala, you keep this and other adhkar, you will be safe from them. Allah will save us from them, inshallah ta'ala. Naam. Any questions? Or have we run out of the time for questions? This one says, she's pregnant and she's breastfeeding. Is she exempted from fasting? Yes, you are exempted from fasting if it is difficult or impossible for you to fast. There are some women that can be pregnant and still fast. It's possible for some women. But when you get to a level, it's not possible. Especially when the pregnancy gets advanced, they just find it's not possible for them to fast. For those, they should not fast, they should keep it. And there is nothing for them to do apart from fidya ta'amu miskin every day. Wallahu alam. That is mud an-nabi. This one says, may Allah preserve me upon khair, ameen, and you too. Please, who is Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni? He was a very big student of Al-Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah. He was somebody that al-Albani liked a lot and praised his ilm of hadith. He has written books which are all about the takhrij of ahadith and the naqd of some works on ahadith, and also on ilm al-rijal. He's very, very vast in that ilm. Generally speaking, he's a very knowledgeable person. He's a Misri. He's raised in Misra now, and he's been amputated because of, I think, a cancer or something that he had. But alhamdulillah, his children, his students are doing very well, and they are spreading the pristine Islam. He had a little disagreement with some scholars too, and because he did not follow their whims, they decided to say that he is a mubtadi, he is no longer on the path of sunnah. But wallahi, I consider him closer to the sunnah than them, because he is more knowledgeable than them. He is doing more to spread Islam than them, and their words compared to his show clearly that he is more deeply versed and more concerned about the authentic ahadith and the following of the authentic ahadith. I think I have about two or three of his books. I can't remember their names now, but they are all on the takhrij of ahadith. In some, like the hadith of saying Bismillah before ablution. I think he used not less than 30 pages discussing that hadith. And the end of the day, he said it is Hassan, is hadith Hassan. And so it is authentic that if you do not say Bismillah, your ablution is incomplete before you start. The Hanabila disagree with him on that. But I am more with him than I am with them on that issue. You know, it's a very vast, even in the ilm of Qira'at, his son reported one day that he recited a certain verse and he was scolding him for that. And he said, you and people like you, you recite this thing like this before because you do not pay heed to this hadith, to this, to this, you know, like that. The muhaddithun are more than just the fuqaha who do not know the hadith. Because you cannot know the hadith without knowing fiqh, if you are going to bring ahkam from the hadith. But then, knowing fiqh does not teach you the hadith. So they have both. And that's why Al-Imam Al-Albani was an impossible nut to crack by the Ahlul Bid'ah and the rest, and some people with issues in them. Because whichever field, authentic field of Islam you delve into, you'll find that he discusses it as if that is the only thing he studies. Because the hadith opens your heart to all of that. There's no field of hadith of Islam that does not have its roots in the hadith. If you do not know the hadith, you'll never know the Quran. Wallah. You'll never be able to ascertain that, yes, this ayah is truly supposed to be part of the Quran. It is from the hadith that you get all of that. So Al-Imam Ishaq, Abu Ishaq Al-Huwayni, is a very learned person. I advise our young people not to get into the fitna between him and Rabi' and the rest of them. They are all good people to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed them. They have their mistakes all, but then they are all on the path of sunnah. And so we all consider them on the path of sunnah. Where this one makes a mistake, and our knowledge gets to the level that we know that he made a mistake, we do not follow him in his mistake. But then the things they did right were more than their mistakes. So we follow those ones, and then their mistakes, we pray to Allah to forgive them. and we should always be remembering that our mistakes are 10 million times more than their own, because we are juhal, we don't know anything. May Allah save us from all this fitna. This one says, can we correct those praying in the front of Imam on Friday? Yes. Yes, they should always be corrected, because wallahi, most of them do not have salah, because they have no reason to go before the Imam. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. How can you do it, Imam, with somebody that you are in front of? It's not possible. You don't see what he does. If there were no loudspeakers, how will you be able to know what he is doing? It's not right. They should always be corrected. It's wrong to go in front of the Imam and pray. It's wrong. Unless there is no way you can stand behind the Imam or on the same row with the Imam, that will become daruratan. If not, it is not permissible. May Allah save us from jahl. We've run out of time. May Allah forgive our mistakes. I had actually intended to ask us here to visit our father and our elder brother, our friend, and one of those that are solidly behind what we're doing here, and those who put pressure that it be brought here and all that. I didn't even intend to come this year. He's one of those who put serious pressure and said I should please come. Apart from seeing me on Facebook, they want to see me face to face. Unfortunately, I came and I could not see him. So yesterday, I think, I was told on our way. No, not yesterday. I didn't come yesterday. I think 2 days ago, I was told on our way back, because I asked, that he was ill, and that's why he had not been coming. So I was wondering, because I had come twice, I did not see him. Alhamdulillah, before I could say we go to him, I saw that he had come. Our father, the former commissioner, we all know him. He's solidly behind all these projects, and he's been ill for some time now, but he's been undergoing treatment. Alhamdulillah, there are signs that he's getting much better now. I advise us, or I please implore us, to please put him in our dua. If you are in your sujood, especially in your qiyamul layl and so on, put him in your dua. May Allah fully restore his health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this illness a kafara for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for all the good intentions he has had, which he has not been able to accomplish. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the remaining of his days better than the ones he has spent on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us all abundantly. May Allah restore his health and all our other brothers and sisters that are having health challenges or financial challenges or whatever challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be our helper. May he be merciful unto us. May he reduce the pain of hardship on all of us. May he secure this country. May he save us from all these problems of insecurity. We know that it's as a result of our sins that we are tested in very different ways. We pray to Allah to forgive us our sins and to lift up all those cups of bitter testing that we are going through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah برحمته وهو أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعل الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.